Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
He may be a warrior. He may be fighting for his belief, his religious belief, as he understands.
Well,
he may
what
be...
changed, Ed, was the announcement yesterday by the House Ethics Committee that they
Does
were...
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood
Does
star?
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn?
Oh, crap.
World-famous Phil Hendrick Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that... just to leave you breathless, baby, and, you know, where truth is our bitch. You know, if you've had an audio problem with our video feed tonight, it's just as I said, we last night did maintenance, we got it back up and running, and there was a, guess what, there was a switch off!
Yeah, what's with a switch, man?
Well, I can't help it. I mean, there was a switch off, only this time it wasn't the switch that, so, we're cool. All right. 877-876-PHIL. Good luck, Mr. Bozell, with your lawsuit. That's all I got to say. Suing the Tea Party, man, because they made him go onto a site where guys were showing their penises.
Yeah, but he said that his friend Roy Hutchins done it, too.
Oh, get out of here. Didn't that guy know what a practical joke is? All right, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You can check out our video cast, which is like a reality show. Believe me when I tell you. And also our downloadable audio every single day. And I mean, every day that we're on the air, our audio is a download for you there on our website. Sean Penn said on CBS's Sunday Morning that the critics can die of rectal cancer in an interview to air on CBS's. Seriously, that's a particularly interesting place for him to go. In an interview to air on CBS's Sunday Morning this weekend, when correspondent Laura Logan mentions that some critics say his recent trip to Haiti was more about building up his image than helping, he got a little ticked off. And let's listen to him getting ticked off. Basically, he said that he wants his critics to die miserable deaths. Here he is, Sean Penn.
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star, the movie star, coming in and trying to do something and they're kind of cynical about it?
No, it's just in this, I guess I've been so away from it all, in our tent camp in Haiti that I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to them. Do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah. You know, but I'm not going to spend a lot of energy on it.
So that was Sean Penn.
Captain Cajones.
Talking about, critics dying of rectal cancer. And I don't think anybody would be talking about you one way or the other, Sean, other than the fact you're a great actor, and there's no questioning that. Great actor. Nobody would be talking about you one way or the other were it not for the fact that a lot of the stuff you say just pisses people off. You understand that. I'm sure you recognize that. It makes people angry. It makes people think, how does a guy like this, we didn't know we grew him that stupid, man. I mean, we knew we grew him stupid, but like that? He's a great actor. He's politically, the guy couldn't be more wrong about things. I mean, he is just utterly so typical, too. And I think that's the thing about Sean Penn. I think he represents something that people think is just absolutely typical of the so-called Hollywood community. A very naive political worldview. Very naive. And don't give me this stuff about how you got in a Jeep and you roared around Iraq and you saw how it was. Is that right? You know, it's pretty easy, man, when you're running all over Iraq, being guarded by the very military that you come home and you start banging on. I mean, this guy has said some outrageous things. He has, and today, in America, and you got to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to see it, today, in America... We have President Obama. I don't think President Obama is a hypocrite. I think he's a great president. I think he's doing what he needs to do. If he says that we got to go back to Guantanamo and try KSM, as he's known, before a military tribunal, then he is doing what he thinks he needs to do. He's changing his mind. He's switching it back to... I'd rather have the guy change his mind and do the right thing than not, wouldn't you? I'd rather have a guy say, you know what, this New York, this is straight up the you-know-what... Sean Penn and the rest of these guys, I wipe my rear end with them. We're going down to Cuba. That's where we're going to try this thing. And when he what Sean Penn brings up, man, what are you doing?
Well, here, look at this.
What is that? Will you get out of here with that? What is that, bud?
This is when he, on a Patriot Act.
I read about the pay. That's the see. There you go. Thank you very much. But I wanted to say that.
Yeah, because you were saying about how all them people is wrong.
Well, the thing that I'm saying, and the thing that we did say was this: there ain't one thing that President Obama has done for the, shall we say, the progressive or far left wing of the Democratic Party. There's not one thing that he's done for them as a way of saying thank you for your support. As a way of saying to the progressive and far left part of the Democratic Party, thank you, here is closing Guantanamo. Thank you, here is, we're going to, you know, maybe take another look at the Patriot Act. Thank you, here is a civil trial for KSM. Thank you, here is XYZ, right? There ain't one of those things that that cat's done that hasn't blown up in his face. How about thank you, let's go ahead and prosecute the Bush lawyers. All this stuff that every silly ass that ever blogged for the Coast or the Huffington, you know, Compost, not a one of them. All of those things those people wanted. I mean, they were like the planks in the progressive platform. You know, let's get those Bush lawyers. Let's make sure we get out of the Guantanamo military tribunal mode and get into the civil trial mode. Let's take another look at that Patriot Act. It's unconstitutional. It's just the worst thing that ever came down the pike since martial law. And all the other things you can think of, I can't think. There's been so many of them, it drives me out of my mind. Oh, we can't get out of Iraq in 18 months. We may have to extend our stay. There ain't going to be no quick withdrawal from Afghanistan and Iraq. Sorry. None of those things have happened. Not a one of those things that they wanted that hasn't blown up in his face 100-fold. And to the president's credit, he has said, guess what? I can't do it. Well, you said that. Well, I might have said, but I can't. Well, you said that we were going to, well, guess what? It costs too much money. It's too dangerous. These are some seriously whacked people. These people are mentally diseased as far as we're concerned. I can't guarantee the safety of the people of New York. These are some heavy hitters, man. They're members of an international outlaw gang called Al-Qaeda. They're not beholden to any government, not beholden to any other institution beyond themselves. They operate as they please. They've got lots of money. They murder people by the thousands. That's their MO. No, we're not going to have a trial in New York. The security of this thing is prohibitive in terms of the cost. We're going to have it down in Guantanamo. So you can take that and kiss that. And so what does he get for his trouble? We got the flip-flop bull. God, you love that term, flip-flop. Now they call him a flip-flopper. And I even saw my very dear friend Lionel there on Facebook saying, boy, it's possible that Obama might be even more reactionary and far right than Bush. Oh, give it a rest, Lionel, okay? Hey, here's the thing. Maybe it isn't that they were wrong. Maybe they're right and we're wrong. Huh? What do you think of that?
That's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah, really, is it? You mean the great American people? You mean we can't be wrong? Huh? Maybe they're right and we're wrong. Maybe they know what they're talking about and we don't. White House may switch to military trials for 9/11 suspects. Looking to breathe life into President Barack Obama's stalled pledge to close the Guantanamo Bay prison, White House advisors are inching toward recommending military trials for the September 11th mastermind, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, an act of war if ever there was one. Yeah, but okay. Well, how come the shoe bomber, you know, the shoe bomber happened sometime, I think, in early 2002 when we had barely picked ourselves up from 9/11. We barely had got our glasses back on and looked around at the smoke and the dust. What are you talking about? I mean, you know, people don't remember, or they do remember, and they hope that the rest of us don't remember. That was a crazy time. I mean, that was a frightened, crazy time. I remember how pissed off everybody was. I went over to, I don't think I'm talking out of school. I went over to Andy Richter's TV show at the time. It was called Andy Richter Controls the Universe. And I was doing a voiceover bit for his TV show. And he was standing there. And Andy's about 6'4". He's a big guy. And I'm standing next to him. He looks at me and he says, is it okay for us to be pissed off about this now? It was about the first 2 weeks after 9/11. And everybody was talking about, now let's make sure that we don't, jump all over the Muslims. And let's make sure that we're sweet with the Islams. And let's make sure that this, and let's make sure that that, and let's make sure that something else, right? And he says to me, and I was feeling the same thing, when are we going to get to be just pissed about this? Well, we never really have been allowed to get pissed, have we? We have been told every step of the way, well, now, wait a minute, blow back. Don't give me this bull crap about how everybody was on Bush's side. I love listening to this jive ass from Mar saying, oh, man, we were ready to walk into the fires of hell with George Bush after 9-11. No, we were not. I remember firemen taking heat from these jackasses down in Florida and up in Berkeley because they had the American flag. That was like days after 9-11. They had the American flag on their fire trucks. Of all the horrible rot, of just a mortal sin. Can you imagine a guy taking all kinds of heat on a city-owned fire truck flying the American flag? That happened days after 9-11. I remember having to take emails at my house from my wife because she was hooked up. One of her friends from college was a Quaker. Holy God. And nothing wrong with you Quakers, you know, but when I'm getting emails in my house days after 9-11 from people saying, let's tell President Bush that this war against the people of Afghanistan will be a racist anti-woman war because Now, when you're feeling the way that I was feeling and probably 90% of American people were feeling, and a Quaker is laying this stuff, laying these eggs in my basket, friend, I don't mind telling you.
You're pretty bent out of shape.
My jaws are tightening. I mean, and then we had the shoe bomber, and through it all, we got to make sure that we do everything the right way. Let me tell you what's happened here, and I think more than anybody, Obama recognizes it. George Bush and the Bush Justice Department and the Bush White House walked across the hot rocks for him, man. They walked through the fire. They figured out what worked and what didn't. They did all the vetting. They did all the reviewing of international and national law and this stuff and where it's right and where it's wrong. All the things that the Bush administration did and the Bush Justice Department did paved the way for Obama. He's looking at this stuff again, and guess what? He's coming up with the same solutions Bush did. Guantanamo, Patriot Act, military tribunals. And let's go kick a little bit of ass, okay, whether it's in Afghanistan or stabilizing things there in Iraq. So some people may not like Barack Obama, and they can do whatever they want. You know, like I said, I don't have all that much respect for the American people these days in terms of the decisions they make. But I think we made a pretty good one with this guy, just like we did with the last guy. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
New York Democratic Representative Eric Massa is facing a harassment complaint by a male staffer on Friday. That would have been yesterday, not too far away, but it was still yesterday. He said on Friday he's stepping down from his seat with a profound sense of failure. He's stepping down from his staffer's seat because I'm kidding.
You should read it better.
Don't worry, I'm making a joke. He said that he was stepping away from the guy's... No, he's stepping down from his seat with a profound sense of failure. Representative Massa yesterday, in announcing his resignation, he rejected the harassment charges.
Now, there are blogs that are out there saying that I'm leaving because I've harassed my staff. Do I use salty language? Yep. And I've tried to do better. That these blogs are a symptom of the problem in Washington, D.C.
Now, let me hear this again.
Now, there are blogs that are out there saying that I'm leaving because I've harassed my staff. Do I use salty language? Yep. And I've tried to do better.
I don't understand what he's saying. Did you understand that?
Yeah, he said there's blogs that are using harassing language. You understand, Dane? I've tried and you're better.
Will you get out of here?
That don't make any sense.
What the hell are you saying, man?
That's what it sounded like.
Well, I know that's what it sounded like, but I don't know what the words were. Don't make the noise like he's making noise. I want to know what the words were.
He said, they're trying to be better, but I don't know what he said.
Well, then you ain't helping me, man, are you? Let me hear this.
Now, there are blogs that are out there saying that I'm leaving.
Right, right, right.
My
yeah,
staff.
I got that.
Do I use salty language? Yep. And I've tried to do better. But these blogs...
Okay, do any of them use insulting language? Yep, and I've tried to do better, I think is what he said. So he's saying that he's not denying that... he's not denying anything. He said the blogs are claiming he's resigning for harassing staff members, and do I use salty language? Oh, do I use salty language? Do I use salty language? Yeah, and I've tried to do better. Oh, so he's accused of saying to some guy...
Yeah, he said to a guy, your butt's nice.
He did not.
Well, I don't know, but something like that.
So did he touch anybody? Or anyway, on MSNBC's The Edge Show, Luke Russert has asked what changed in the last 24 hours that caused Massa. I wonder if any of his staff say to him, yes, Massa.
I wouldn't do that. You're trying to say me.
I didn't say you, but I mean, you know.
No, his name is Mr. Massa.
You wouldn't want to work for him, would you, Robert?
You see, look at you doing, man. You got jokes and everything.
I'm not trying to do jokes. I'm just asking. Would you work for him?
No, but I ain't going to say, yeah, Massa.
Yeah, you would. That'd be funnier than hell.
Get out of there, man.
All right. Anyway, here is Luke Russert. Massa is asked what changed in the last 24 hours that caused Massa put his resignation into effect after this weekend.
Well, what changed, Ed, was the announcement yesterday by the House Ethics Committee that they were opening up a full court press investigation into these allegations of sexual harassment against Congressman Massa. By resigning, that investigation will no longer take place. In his press release, he said that he was doing this for his family because this would tear his family apart if they were to actively look into this allegation. Talking to his local newspaper, The Leader, he said, I'm guilty. I can't fight it.
Wow, that's heavy. Later in the day, Massa released a statement saying that after discovering he'd had a recurrence of cancer, he learned he was the subject of an ethics complaint by a male staffer who felt uncomfortable during an exchange with Massa. The exchange reportedly had sexual overtones. I will resign my position. Wow, how old is this man? He's got cancer. There's no doubt in my mind that I did, in fact, use language in the privacy of my own home and in my inner office that after 24 years in the Navy might make a chief petty officer feel uncomfortable. I don't understand. Was he in the Navy?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, it might make a... So then he said, in fact, there is no doubt that this ethics issue is my fault and mine alone. He says that I want to make something perfectly clear. My difficulties are of my own making, period. Well, what the hell is he talking about? What's wrong with Washington? That's the part that bugs me. Let me listen to this again.
Now, there are blogs that are out there saying that I'm leaving because I've harassed my staff. Do I use salty language? Yep. And I've tried to do better. That these blogs are a symptom of the problem in Washington, D.C.
Well, maybe, man, but look, you know, if you're gay, then why are you married to a woman? If you're gay, and it isn't necessarily an indictment of you, but if you're a gay man, and this is what Harvey Milk said 30 years ago, just come out. You got to come out because this crap happens. You and this guy here in California, this Ashburn, or as they're calling him now, well, I better not say. Don't say it.
Ashburn.
I said not to say it. Nonetheless, early Friday, a visibly upset Massa said he didn't want to put his family through an ethics committee investigation. It just so happens he's got cancer, so they don't have to do it anyway. And he went, ha, ha, ha. No, he said it would tear us apart, according to Joe Dunning, a columnist for the Leader newspaper. It's not that I can fight or beat these allegations. I'm guilty, is what he's saying. All right. So he sexually harassed verbally a member of his staff. He is saying that the blog reporting it is what's wrong with Washington. He is saying that he is not going to fight these things. He's got cancer, so he's not going to rerun for... He's getting the hell out while the getting's good. Now, it just so happens that yesterday we had, like I said, we had the same thing with this guy Ashburn. These two gay guys that are married to women because they want to be elected to public office and serve the country. It's pretty sad, man, when you have to, you know, lie about your life. But you can't in this society tell people you're gay without some of this stuff coming back to haunt you, you know.
Yeah, and the guy's name is Massa, too. And if the guy that he grabbed or touched or whatever is a black guy, that's doubly bad if you think on it.
He didn't grab anybody, man.
You didn't grab anyone, man. I was saying with the guy, talk to the guy. And what are you talking about anyway?
I'm saying that if the guy that he said, I like your butt, and he's black, now you're in trouble.
Why? Because his last name's Massa?
Yeah, because he had the guy was saying that, Massa, Can I go get you some more, lotion?
Will you shut up? All right, body scanners are being installed in some U.S. airports and at Massa's house. And anyway, plus the Dr. Green Thumb report still to come. 877-875-PHIL. Can I get you more lotion?
Yeah, you want it, so that.
Phil Hendry.
Just honest to God, if you have not been on Chat Roulette, if you're a parent, whatever, if you're a parent, seriously, if you're a kid, is there anything I'm going to say that's going to keep you from going over there? I guess not, unless I said something along the lines of this. If you're a kid and you go to Chat Roulette, okay, but remember, the adults can see you too, and they may even be able to find out where you live. Oh, yeah.
You can't say that. The kids will be afraid of it and everything.
Well, I hope they are. That's right. Go ahead. Go on over there. Check out and see what those creepy, freaky, weird-ass adults are doing, and they may just be able to figure out where you live. So stay the hell away from them. And you parents, I mean, you talk about guys with nothing to do. Not you, but if you go to Chat Roulette, where I saw one thing, it was a sign, and it said, I don't know what the sign said. It said something like, what the hell was it? It was like,
yeah, something like, you've hit rock bottom.
You've hit rock bottom. That was it. You've hit rock bottom, whatever that is. Okay, fine. So, I have. I mean, I admitted that to myself as soon as I realized I saw that sign. You're right. I'm on Chat Roulette. I have hit rock bottom. And then it was like penis, penis, penis. And then it was no screen. And then penis. And then like four or five guys that probably looked exactly like me, you know?
Yeah, they're all just staring at it.
Like four or five guys staring at the screen, like I'm staring at the screen, with that dumb, stupid look on your face, like, duh. And then there was one of like a guy and his friend, and then penis, and then, what the hell? This is a what do you call those guys that like to expose themselves?
Like a pervert?
Well, not like a pervert. Yeah, it's a pervert's paradise is what it is. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to the Oscars contenders, big and small dog Oscars contenders. Anti-war, anti-imperialist, anti-Semitic, anti-social, racist. This is this year's Oscars best picture contenders, real garbage. No, I'm kidding. It's they faced a barrage of criticism from groups and commentators eager to exploit the media frenzy surrounding the Academy Awards to draw attention to their causes. So when they call a movie anti-Semitic and they say that it's racist or whatever, it really isn't. They just want people to see what it is they're bellyaching about. I guess that's what they're saying. While science fiction blockbuster Avatar and Iraq war drama The Hurt Locker have been battling criticism on a number of fronts, controversies have also attached themselves to Best Picture nominees Precious, District 9, and Education, The Blind Side, and A Serious Man. The environmental, anti-war, anti-imperialist themes of James Cameron's Avatar, which tells the story of a peace-loving blue alien defending their home. Columnist John Podhertz of the Weekly Standard has branded the film crap. No, he said it's the highest-grossing film of all time with more than $2 billion since it's released. It's anti-American, and James Cameron is a turd in a punch bowl. This conclusion does ask the audience to root for the defeat of American soldiers at the hands of an insurgency. Well, what else is new, okay? But public health activists have also taken a pot shot at Avatar, angry at scenes and where the film where the character played by Sigourney Weaver is puffing on a cigarette. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, it's like TV. Pretty soon you won't be able to use four-letter words. Pretty soon there'll be commercials in the movies themselves, not commercials in the theater when you sit down. We've already lost that battle. Remember that? Remember when people were upset, and I was one of them, saying, wait a minute, I just paid $8 or $9 to get in here, and you guys are throwing commercials at me on the screen? How dare you? Remember we were outraged? Remember they didn't give a sweet crap. They're still doing it, and we've quieted down, and we sit, and we take it. So we pay our money, we buy our popcorn, we sit down, and they're still throwing the commercials at us, and we're just being quiet about it. Now, we don't have any more the standards board like they used to have back in the day. They used to have back in the day a motion picture code. And the motion picture code, which was something that was voluntarily agreed to by the filmmakers of America, necessitated that a filmmaker not include certain things in a movie. There was a standard. Well, we don't have that anymore, but we have now a variety of groups that want to bring back to films this kind of censorship. It isn't nudity anymore. It's you can't have cigarettes. They don't want to have cigarettes. This is censorship. This has got nothing else to do with anything other than censorship. Don't give me this stuff if you know about how it's bad for the kids, man. Maybe it ain't a kid movie. This is a very, very strong epidemiological evidence that the more smoking kids and young adults see in movies, the more likely they are to smoke. Stanton Glantz, professor of medicine and director of the Center for Jackasses at the University of Jackass, he said Avatar would have been just as good a movie without Sigourney Weaver. He said the doctor, who is a medicine and tobacco guy, telling Cameron how to make a movie, do you love him or don't you? It would have been just as good. Well, thank you very much, man. I didn't know you had your film degree, too. To say that you need to show a scientist in a spaceship smoking cigarettes in the year 2154 in order to be realistic in a movie, which was essentially animated, is ridiculous, said a scientist who wouldn't know his ass around a movie set if you paid him. I mean, this is, why don't I just go into your laboratory and tell you how to make whatever it is that you make, quack? Is it enough for you to know that there are some people who are not smoking? You see, I quit smoking. I quit smoking back at Christmas 2009. Everybody who listens to my show, they know this, doctor, whatever the hell your name is. Do you want me to go back to the cigarettes? Because I will. If I got to hear or look at you, I'm going to go back to smoking cigarettes.
Are you putting me on? You've been doing a good job.
Why would you do that, man? If I got to look at this guy or hear this guy open his mouth, Stanton Glantz, professor of medicine and director of the Center for Tobacco Control Research and Education at the University of Jackball. If I have to hear that guy one more time, I'm going to go back to smoking three packs a day. Those are the people that kill me. I mean, they just kill me. Cameron told this guy to pound sand. He rejected the charge, however, saying he wanted Weaver's character to be off-putting and even unpleasant. Anyway, get out of here, will you, Cameron? Meanwhile, the Hurt Locker, a tense drama about the activities of a bomb disposal unit in Iraq, has faced a barrage of late criticism from veterans who've complained it inaccurately portrays their profession. The depiction of our community in this film is disrespectful, said Paul Rykoff, executive director of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans America. We are not cowboys. We are not reckless. We are professionals. Hey, Paul, get in line behind the LAPD and any other organization that have been portrayed as reckless and cowboy-esque, okay? Two words, training day. Thank you.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man, they made them look like dumbass.
Dumbass? They look like they made the LAPD's narcotics unit look like the biggest pack of criminals since the freaking Gambino family.
Maybe they are.
Well, really? Well, why don't you go ask them, man? Maybe they are.
You don't know. They ain't all that problem with Rampart. Yeah, what about that?
That Rampart thing, man, that's so old. You tell me they made a movie about that? Okay, anyway, I don't even want to talk to you. Science fiction nominee District 9, meanwhile, infuriated the Nigerian government for its portrayal of murderous Nigerian criminal gangs operating in the Soweto-like townships where the film is set. Why do they want to denigrate Nigerians as criminals, cannibals, and prostitutes who sleep with extraterrestrial animals, said Nigeria's Minister of Information, Dora Akunutulikata. The film was banned in Nigeria, which demanded an apology from Studio Sony. It is kind of racist, Sony. Boy, look at you, man. You hate black people, don't you?
They don't hate black people, man. Just the one in Africa.
No. It's too late now. You can't say that.
You know, why are you saying that? Yeah, I thought you liked movies.
Because any chance I get to, you know, if Sony is being accused of racism by a bona fide, you know, an actual bona fide black country, they'll never be able to live that one down. I just want to see where it goes, okay?
Yeah, you know, why do you want to stir up the crap like that?
Because I just want to, okay? Other controversies surrounding Best Picture nominees are more surprising. Independent drama Precious was accused of being brazenly racist by the New York Film. You mean like this one, District 9-8, with Nigerians sleeping with extraterrestrial animals? Independent drama Precious was accused of being brazenly racist by the New York Film Critics Circle chairman Arnond White for its depiction of an obese, illiterate, sexually abused black teenager from Harlem. What's wrong with that? The film's African-American director Lee Daniels, a racist who hates black people, admitted to being baffled by the criticism. "These are people I know," he said of the film's characters. "My movie is the truth. It's absolutely colorless. Wait a minute, I know who Arnon White is. He wanted a part in my movie, and then I said, no, I can't use you, you're too ugly. So he took a job as a critic with the New York Film Critics Circle." "Oh, I get it now," said the director.
Yeah, he didn't say that, did he?
No, he didn't. He should have, though. Equally unexpected work was criticism of British nominee and education, where a villainous Jewish character was compared to the parasitical Jew of Nazi propaganda films by a critic of the Jewish Journal of Greater... Oh, my God. Well, keep on going, man. Anything that pisses these people off, I think, is good, right? And by the same token, I mean, if somebody wanted to come up with, like, a Holocaust denier movie, I mean, look at this. This is what makes our country great. Just a lot of crap. Throw a lot of crap up there. The fact of the matter is, guys, Hollywood movies have been hit and miss for a long time. They don't tell history. They don't tell the story of history very well. They do not depict real life and all that well. I mean, it's very, very rare when a movie comes along that actually reflects and illuminates. You know, it's not that it's a reflection of life, see? When they always say, "Why, my film is violent because these are the things, it reflects life." No, it doesn't reflect life, man. If it reflected life, people would recognize it and they would say, "Wow, that reminds me of life. That's really scary." But when a movie is over the top in terms of its violence or its sex or anything else, and some director comes along, some guy wearing a feather in his hat or whatever, says, "Why, it reflects life." And people say, you know, "Was that fun for you to watch all that violence?" Yeah. Well, it doesn't reflect life. Violence is not fun. Violence is traumatizing, scary. Violence is disturbing. So a really violent movie, you know, like a Saving Private Ryan, for instance. That was a disturbing movie for a lot of people. Veterans, guys that had been through it, were disturbed by that film because the violence was a disturbing violence. It was a real violence. It was a very, very real portrayal of that existential hell of war. That was a great film. But just having a bunch of so-called violence because it, quote, reflects life. It takes a very, very skilled artist, a great director, great actors, a great writer, to really make a commentary on life that resonates with people, okay? And it just doesn't happen all the time. And this bullcrap about how, well, you know, we made a violent movie because it reflects life, and we're hoping, see, this is an anti-violent movie. Anti-violent, huh? You guys have about as much luck and as much success keeping violence away from the American way of life, okay, as I have with a newspaper and a swarm of horseflies, man. I mean, there's only so many of them you can kill. And you cats telling me that you're doing my world a favor by making these violent movies because it reflects the sickness of society and maybe we'll do something about it. You know as well as I do that's horse dung. Speaking of horse flies.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We have our stories we couldn't get to. We also have the Dr. Green Thumb report coming up here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, we're going to get to our stories we couldn't get to, but first, we got to get to this. You know what? I didn't play the audio from the Oscar story, and it's not that it's very informative, but it's this little punk, this greasy little 11-year-old. He's not, well, I don't know if he's greasy, but you just want to slug him.
I honestly think Avatar won't win the best picture.
Get out of here.
Boy, I want to slug that kid.
Me too.
Here he is again.
Really tough between Sandra Bullock and Meryl Streep.
Uh-huh.
I think Meryl Streep should win for Julie and Julie. I thought she had a great performance as Julia Child. But I think it is Sandra Bullock's year, and she will win for Best Actress. I think this is one of her biggest comeback performances.
I agree with
well,
you.
Well, how do you know? You're 11. You're not even old enough to remember her in Demolition Man. You dirty little no good.
I honestly think Avatar won't win the best picture.
Oh.
Because I just don't think it didn't get any nominations for writing and acting.
Kid.
And I don't think the Academy will choose that just for all those effects, it's probably sure to win for all those effects awards.
Yeah.
But I think The Hurt Locker will win for best picture. Of course, Up should win. It's only the second animated film ever to be nominated for a best picture. The other was Beauty and the Beast, one of my favorites. I think it should win, but The Hurt Locker.
Okay. Well, he's probably right. The Hurt Locker will win because they don't usually go for, they don't like the big money movie, for instance, or the big splashy movie. Like the year I was just mentioning, Saving Private Ryan, you know what won that year?
Yeah, Shakespeare in Love. I remember because this one guy, it was all at a party that I went to, he was all prancing around in a Shakespeare suit.
Yeah, I remember that too. He was prancing around in a Shakespeare suit.
Yeah, it was an Oscar party when everybody dresses up like somebody in the movie, and I dressed up like Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I dressed up like Saving Private Ryan at a party, and a guy was in a Shakespeare suit.
Yeah.
What do you mean a Shakespeare suit, man? You mean he was dressed like in the movie?
Yeah, all the fairy, we're not fairy, but all the stuff they wear.
Okay, so what did he do?
He started jumping up and down when he won.
Well, that's right. Yeah, Shakespeare in Love did win, and that it's forget it. I don't. Anyway, all right. So that's enough of that, man. I just wanted to move on to this body scanner story because you might as well know. 11 major airports. Are you guys going to be flying soon? Because 11 major airports will begin using body scanners to screen passengers as the TSA, Transportation Security Administration, launches a plan to buy 1,000 of these babies over the next 2 years. The scanners can look right through your clothing and see you nude. It can detect weapons and explosives. And if you're not particularly proud of what you got, no, I'm kidding. Really, you can turn down going through the scanner. You can opt for a pat down.
Yeah, being groped.
Not being groped.
Well, that's a thing.
You can go through the scanner, or if you don't want them staring at you in all of your Royal American regality, you can have them pat you down, right? So it's a difference between them looking through your clothes at what you got or having it groped. I guess you're right, bud.
Yeah.
And the airports that are going to be installing these scanners, officials at Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport are not worried about the TSA plan. Airport spokeswoman Barbara Schempf said the airport recently finished a new checkpoint. It's blah. Anyway, airports getting body scanners, Boston Logan, L.A., Charlotte Douglas, Oakland, Chicago O'Hare, Port Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, San Diego, Fort Lauderdale, San Jose, and Kansas City. All right, airports with scanners will continue to use metal detectors both as an alternative for passengers who want to avoid the machines and in checkpoints without the scanners. Passengers who opt to skip a scanner will go through a metal detector and then be groped with someone placing their hand directly on your... No, it'll be a, you know...
Yeah, it's not going to be... They're not going to grope you.
Well, you said they would, man. So all of a sudden you change your mind. No, they're not going to grope you, folks. It's just, it's not a grope in the sense that you're going to enjoy it. All right, time now for the stories we couldn't get to in a world-famous Phil Hendry show in Mexico City. A mayor in central Mexico says he's fired one of his town officials for spray painting the buttocks of a teenage boy as punishment for graffiti tagging. The mayor of San Juan del Rio says... the mayor of San Juan del Rio in Quintero State says the police caught a 13-year-old tagging a wall last week and turned him over to the official. The official's job is to impose penalties for petty crime. Mayor Gustavo Nieto said Thursday that he fired the official because he should have notified the boy's parents so they could pay for the damage and not punish the team personally. He did not identify the employee. Let's see, in Lincoln Town, North Carolina, North Carolina man was sentenced to 3 days in jail for violating probation by leaving the state to appear on the Jerry Springer Show. The Gaston Gazette reported Thursday that Richard Peterson's probation officer spotted him on TV taped in Connecticut. The 30-year-old man and his girlfriend got on all expenses paid trip to appear on the show where Peterson boasted about a one-night stand with a stripper. Video clip shows Peterson running around the stage dodging swings from his girlfriend. While the couple fought, the stripper started twirling around a pole, and Jerry Springer removed his pants, went on to chat roulette, and was discovered by, you got it, this man's father. Jerry and the guy are now being married, and meanwhile, back in Lincoln County Jail, the spokesman said Peterson had no listed attorney. That's wild. What a story. In North Carolina, or, well, New Jersey, police said a cook put a body hair in the bagel sandwich of a police officer who'd given him a ticket in the past. The cook was arrested February 21st in the kitchen of Good Foods in Evesham. The police officer ticketed the cook in March when he failed to pull over for a traffic violation. The cook spent 4 hours in jail before his wife bailed him out and was fired from his job. The Courier Post of Cherry Hill reports that police asked them not to report the incident for fear of copycat crimes. The paper published the story anyway. Thanks so much. A woman in Germany phoned police after hearing a suspicious noise in her flat, but much to her embarrassment, officers found the source was a vibrator. The noise was so loud and strange, even over the telephone, the police in Bochum in western Germany decided to send a patrol car around to the scene of the crime, quote unquote. Anyway, daringly, and with the occupier's permission, one of the officers opened the drawer and found the vibrator. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Till Monday night or Tuesday morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.